is a lack of branding holding back the charter jet industry? I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. There are plenty of jets in the U.S. charter fleet, but most of the companies involved are regional in identity. My guest today believes that the lack of a national brand is a factor holding back the growth of the charter segment. Brian Foley Associates provides market research, industry analysis and forecasting, strategic planning, new product evaluation, and positioning and transaction support from offices based in Sparta, New Jersey. Brian's here with me today to explain his comments further. Brian, thanks for taking some time out for our listeners today.
Hi, Paul.
Let me start by asking you what it was you saw in the industry that prompted you to write this bit of analysis.
It's clear to us in observing what's going on out there that there hasn't been much change in the charter industry for years. You know, it took 25 years before something like fractional even came about, which is kind of an offshoot of charter, if you will. It took even longer for jet cards to come along. And we think that all of this is working towards the next big thing, the holy grail, if you will, which will be to have a branded presence on a national basis instead of regional.
Brian, what distinguishes a fractional from a charter?
They're both transportation, per se. However, with charter, you don't have to pony up the acquisition costs as you'd have to for a fractional share. So there is a pretty big difference.
Okay, so fractionals are charters for the committed.
That's one way to look at it.
Okay, now, what is the point of branding? For those who are not working in marketing or not really close to that part of the industry, in your own words, what do you mean by branding?
Well, let's start with an analogy, a very famous branding analogy, which is, of all things, salt, table salt. And it was back a number of years ago that a manufacturer and provider of salt, Morton, decided to differentiate themselves. And by having the little girl and the tagline saying that when it rains, it pours, meaning their salt would, you know, come out of the shaker even when it was humid out, they essentially differentiated themselves. They took one of the most common elements on Earth and made it appear different from the rest. And as a result, they could charge more per pound for the salt they were selling than their competitors could. Now, bringing that forward to charter, it's the same thing. If a customer doesn't have a perception that you're different from the rest of the pack, they'll base their purchase decision on the lowest price, and that's killer on margins and profits. The smart folks out there in charter land or fractional land, they've gone the extra step, and they've built a perception around themselves that they stand for something, that their name is recognized, that folks know that they participate in the charter industry. And as a result, they can actually charge a premium over what their competitors charge if their competitors aren't branded also. In addition to charging the premium, if all goes right, they can even grow their customer base. There's people that want to be loyal to that brand. There's people that have a good feeling about being affiliated with that brand.
In your article, you discussed the example of a regionally based air taxi service that sounds a lot like DayJet, which unfortunately didn't last long enough to see if national branding was what they had in mind.
Yeah, you know, that's an example of a company that probably in their vision far down the road saw that a national brand presence would be a big thing. And they decided to start small regionally in the Southeast. And unfortunately, that was undercapitalized. But what we see in this industry today in charter is just that. There's literally thousands of airplanes that are for rent, if you will, for charter, but there's no national brand that's well recognized to all users that you can jump on and go from Miami to Seattle or from San Diego to the East Coast. Typically today, charter operators are very localized. The people in the region might know them, but they're not well known outside of that region.
You know, the fractionals have only been around about half as long as the charter jet segment, but they seem further ahead in branding. I just finished watching a NetJets ad that featured Tom Brady talking about the benefits of the brand and that ability to fly that same brand from the East Coast to the West Coast.
NetJets has done a masterful job of branding. They've done this by investing in their branding and by being consistent, by getting a message out there. You know, it's not enough just to have a logo, a brochure, or advertisement. The brand really needs to be reflected continuously through branded service programs, communication tonality, and employee culture. And NetJets has done this. But remember, fractional, there's only a handful of companies, and they're really not charter. You know, you really have to pony up on the order of millions of dollars just to participate in those fractional programs. What we're talking about is maybe a bigger universe. You know, there's many more charter airplanes that are out there, and trying to do a similar thing that NetJets has done at a much lower cost, since you don't have the upfront purchase price.
Okay, to the extent that charter aircraft time, and maybe we shouldn't just limit this to jets, because there was another big Southeast regional startup called SatsAir that used Cirrus SR-22 propeller aircraft. Is it going to be an advantage in the current economy that maybe some of these players get shaken out and there's a chance for someone to emerge on a national level?
I think we see some of that happening now. There's different companies that are taking different approaches to the national branding concern. And, you know, SatsAir or Dayjet, they began regionally, but there's some out there now that are trying a little different approach, and I'm sure that they see their holy grail as having a national presence one day. So we need to kind of keep an eye on them, and someone will eventually have the depth and the fleet capability to be able to conquer that.
Brian, some of the fractional fleets, you know, may have excess capacity at times, and is it possible for a company like NetJets, for example, to get into charter in a big way as well?
It sort of has moved in that direction now. Think of the Marquee jet card. That's an extension of getting onto a NetJets airplane, but it's still a very expensive form of charter. But maybe as not just NetJets, but other fractional providers look at their business models, maybe that's the next step, is to make that fleet available to the pure charter user without the higher cost of jet cards or full fractional ownership.
It would seem as if maybe in an economic downturn like we've been going through now, fractional operators might have aircraft that aren't getting the hours on them that they had anticipated. Or is it working the other way? Are people giving up wholly owned planes and doing more business with fractionals?
Fractional fleet is not being utilized fully, and unfortunately there could be a good chunk of those coming onto the pre-owned market in the near term, which could put some more pressure on the new airplane sales folks.
All right, now if you're going to brand a service like this, is it better to have a consistent fleet, or is it better to have the variety that some charter companies tout to match a particular mission or size of the passenger contingent you have to carry?
Yeah, we think ultimately that having too many aircraft in a fleet, too many different model types, will just raise the cost to the ultimate consumer. You know, think of a successful brand in the airline industry, the Southwest Airlines. They have just one model type. They have a 737. They grow and stretch and shrink and do other things too, but it's all the same type rating, many of the same common parts and training. And we suspect that someone successful in a national branding presence for charter would have to do the same with, you know, just one or two models and not many more.
All right, let's talk about the current economic conditions and what lies ahead. How big a deal has it been that political leaders have seemed to endeavor to make private aircraft uncool?
It's a big deal in the United States. Fortunately, it doesn't matter outside of the borders. And over 50% of business jet sales are outside of the borders. So that's a good thing that it's a little insulated here. But it does have an effect. And it could actually help charter and could help fractional, because there may be some companies that want to stay under the radar, and using these alternative types of transportation can help them accomplish that.
Brian, when we come back from the break, let's see if you can think of any charter companies that appear to have recognized that need for better branding. My guest is Brian Foley. We'll be back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR-22 GTS, Cirrus's premium luxury ride that has come to define Cirrus aircraft as one of the world's elite. Every dream option, from supple leather seats to an exhilarating 310 horsepower performance and speed, comes standard, giving new meaning to the phrase fully loaded. When flying the SR-22 GTS, getting there is truly more than half the fun. To learn more, call 888-750-9000. 9927 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. I'm Paul Plack, talking with industry consultant Brian Foley about branding in the charter industry. Brian, we've talked a little bit about branding and what it is, how the fractionals seem to get it. Is there anybody in the charter world you see making progress in creating a national brand?
I'd have to ask the listeners to answer that themselves, and ask themselves which charter operator has a brand name that charter end users recognize today. Which one has brand awareness such that those users remember that brand name and that it's in the charter industry? And finally, which one has built enough brand equity to warrant loyalty and customer pride through affiliation? And I suspect the listener will probably think of a regional-based charter company that's in their area. What we're looking for is someone that needs to be on a national presence so that throughout the nation, folks think of them first when it comes to charter.
All right, before we go, let's take a couple moments and talk about Brian Foley Associates and tell our listeners what you do and when your phone rings, who's at the other end.
Yeah, we typically help the business aviation community with their own business matters, including branding and market research and other matters, and as well as the investment community comes to us for those same type of assistance.
All right, well, Brian, as always, we appreciate the chance to talk to you. When you issue a press release from your company, it's always thought-provoking and sometimes something other people aren't talking about. We appreciate you for that.
Yeah, I appreciate that feedback, Paul.
My guest has been Brian Foley of Brian Foley Associates. You can find out more at www.brifo.com. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.